Let the band play.
Baby, lately I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy lately. I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, I've been going crazy, crazy. Yeah, yeah. I've been getting paper, paper. Made a hole in without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, they like clock, you major. I just set a new set of holes on a new set.
Alrighty, welcome back to the Future of NFT podcast, the most efficient and realest podcast in the NFT world. I'm your host, Jared. Today we have two very special guests, which you'll be listening to here shortly. If you're new to NFTs, Web3, blockchain, I'd highly suggest you start episode 1 where I explain NFTs to my mom. Work your way all the way through the catalog. I'm confident either I or one of the guests we've had on will teach you something 100%. If you're not new here, welcome back, baby. Alrighty, so this is a very informative, insightful episode. As always, let me know what you want to hear on the next episode. Please enjoy the show. Alrighty, well, let's go ahead and get started. So today we have two special guests. Today we have Ms. Kathleen Osgood, who is a director for business development at Sky Mavis. We also have Henry the Grape, who is a community manager at CyberKongs. Thank y'all both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. So Kathleen, I want to go ahead and get started with you. This always seems to be like the best point, I feel like, in like a young person's career. So tell me about, before entering Web3, the whole NFT space, like, tell me about getting out of high school and going into college. Like, where was your mind at? Like, did you know exactly what you wanted to do? Was it kind of wishy-washy? Can you walk me through that?
I had no idea what I wanted to do. I have always been very creative when I was younger. I think when you look at some of what you have done in your childhood, it does tend to play into what you end up doing in your life. Mm-hmm. I was always making things, selling things. I was convincing stores in town when I was like 10 to sell my jewelry, having like sales in my front yard, making art, making beads. And in high school, I was very creative when it came to what I was interested in. I wasn't interested in like traditional studies, but like entrepreneurship classes were very interesting to me. It led me to go to Villanova, where I studied business. I actually had been a finance and accounting double major until I just needed to go into entrepreneurship full time within the business school. Won a couple of awards there. Got out of college and had no idea what I wanted to do. And so I started off at a startup selling social media to bars and restaurants. So I, for, you know, 9 hours a day, I was on the phone calling bars and restaurants, who are not the easiest people to talk to, trying to sell them social media. And I think that really gave me such a strong backbone, because the things people would say to me, they were painful at first, but I figured out how to maneuver conversations and read people over the phone, and ended up really forming this really very strong creative sales muscle that then carried over into how I helped that company grow. So I grew that company into a full-on web development company. I became an owner of that company. And a couple years into it, I remember someone showing me their Coinbase account. I was like, what is this? And then some of my developers started talking about blockchain, and I just dove in absolutely headfirst. It was in maybe 2016 when I decided to leave the company and start a crypto company. So I convinced these banks to lend me their spaces so I could vet and attract emerging companies in crypto. And at the time, it was mostly like financial companies, like exchanges, and like DeFi lending protocols. Create a vetting system throughout via some of the most prominent folks just in the general Chicago scene, and bring these companies into these co-working spaces and allow them then access to partners and sponsors, so larger organizations, also including investors, and give them access to these people to really start this thriving Chicago blockchain business ecosystem, because in Chicago, we have a lot of the major financial institutions that were very interested in it, but it was still very much a dark market that attracted some really shady players. And I want to create a safe home for that. And so then I expanded into setting up a second co-working space. COVID hit. I was working to get my broker dealer, so I wasn't able to actually make money on the investments I was facilitating. And then I went to Jump, Jump Capital, Jump Crypto, behemoth venture financial institution. And I convinced them to hire me because I had all of these connections in crypto. I networked the hell out of the entire scene. And so I became director of market development there, where I dove in headfirst into all kinds of investments, crypto in particular. And at that time, I had gotten very interested in meme coins on the side.
Okay.
And I think that actually really plays into to where I am now, because I was an early member of a meme coin community, and I saw all these individuals contribute to something that meant nothing.
Yep.
Everyone has something to contribute when it comes down to it, whether it be social capital or graphic design or content or making something. And when I saw all these people contributing content and graphics and like putting advisory boards together towards this thing that had nothing behind it, I thought, what if you can harness that new paradigm of doing business with people that own your assets in this new and unique way, and they want to contribute because you allow them to own it?
Yep.
And what if that can be done throughout something that means something as opposed to a meme coin? Not that memes don't mean anything, but I'm talking like, that's what really led me into NFTs and Axie Infinity in particular. So I reached out to Ariana Simpson at A16Z, asked her to put me in touch with her best portfolio company, which I knew would be Axie. And yeah, the rest is kind of history. I was the first person that was hired to spearhead the Ronin Games ecosystem. We were hacked 2 weeks into me coming on board. I was glad I was here before we were hacked, because I was able to see some of the most iconic leadership that has ever been done in the space by our founders, and how they handled that, how they maneuvered it, how they communicated. And from there, we built. And CyberKongs was such a fundamental piece of us rebuilding ourselves and building our reputation and ensuring that we had a platform for projects to genuinely trust that we can help get them off the ground.
Yep.
And CyberKongs was absolutely core to where we got to today. They are fundamental in every project we bring on in terms of getting behind them and producing the Ronin effect. I mean, they are a massive part of why Pixels became what it is, because they literally beat their chest for anybody that comes on to Ronin. And their story generally, it's almost been part of ours, just like ours has been part of theirs. So I think what has been happening now with the Genkai launch and Play and Collect coming over, they're coming home, and we are here to continue to support their upward trajectory, because they have all of the pieces. They always have. They've been innovative in every aspect of what they do within the space. They have some of the most talented people on the team. Their vision is so clear, and also they're so agile to innovate and experiment. And that's the type of teams that will succeed in Web3.
Awesome. I love that, Kathleen. I'm excited to dig in more to the CyberKongs. So now, Henry, I'm curious. Tell me, you're coming out of high school, going into college. Where's your mind at here?
Oh, it's so funny. My story is so different than Kathleen's because I didn't finish high school. In fact, I dropped out the day I turned 16. I dropped out and I enrolled in junior college. I asked my my guidance counselor in high school, like, hey, if I could pass the placement test at junior college, like, can I just go? And he's like, yeah, if you could pass the placement test. So long story short, I dropped out. I got my GED. And I was in a kind of a weird scenario because, like, my parents had no money. I grew up, in a relatively poor family. So I kind of knew it was on me to just make things happen for myself. And without without like a good paying job. Being in college, I was sitting there thinking like, well, what can I do to start making money where I can get my own place? And realistically, the only thing I could think of was at the time, this was 1999, was to go into the military. So I joined the Coast Guard. I did about 6 years in the Coast Guard, and some of the best years of my life, like taught me a lot. It was something I really enjoyed, made some lifelong friends there. And when I got out of the Coast Guard, I was back into the grind of like, okay, now what? I had wanted to be a pilot. That was going to be a slightly long course. So I started flipping real estate in Florida back kind of right before the housing boom. So I was doing that and started running my own kind of real estate company, had my real estate license. And long story short, fast forward years and years down the road, I got into the flooring business of all things because we were rehabbing our own homes. One of my guys said, hey, what about in between rehabbing homes? Like maybe you could get us into a big box and we could start doing installs for them. And I did that. Started a flooring installation company where we were doing installations for Lowe's in a few different states. Ended up buying a flooring store. And I always joke, like, I was rugging people long before Web3. and the reality is that I got into Web3 because my brother, who is a total degen, always has been since we were kids, whether it was like bootlegging old Pearl Jam concerts or comic books or any of that kind of stuff. He had been in crypto and he still works in Web3 full time. And he was the one that really turned me on to it. Had been trying to, you know, talk to me and get me into it for years, but it wasn't until 2020 that I realistically like took the plunge, started buying crypto, and found myself in the Web3 scene collecting art. And that was kind of my journey before I got into CyberKongs. It's kind of a weird one because, like, you know, Kathleen said, and I totally believe this. I think a lot of people think, like, if I'm not a dev, if I'm not an artist, there's not really a place for me. And the reality is I'm none of those things. Like, yep. I'm not an artist. I'm not a dev. But you know what? I'm passionate about like our community, and I've been able to be a voice for our community. And there's like a place for anybody who really wants to grind in the space to find, to find their spot. I truly believe that.
That's awesome, Henry. I love that. And I'm excited to touch on a community with you here in a second. Kathleen, back to you. For people that aren't familiar with Sky Mavis, can you just give the audience just a quick overview of like what you do?
Yep. So Sky Mavis, we are the creators of Axie Infinity. Axie Infinity was the game that catapulted NFT Web3 gaming into the space around 3 years ago. We built our own blockchain called Ronin to accelerate the scalability that was needed when we hit 4 million daily active users. Now Ronin is expanding to allow other teams to leverage both our infrastructure that we've created to bring on the next 100 million users and have perfected this permission-based ecosystem to really ensure that a user has coming from Web2 has no idea what they're doing, has a flawless experience, and also leverage the massive UA and growth funnel that we have built. I think of all ecosystems, we know how to create FOMO in a market. We know the importance of creators in the space, and we've built this massive microphone, really, that when a new game comes into our ecosystem, they're able to leverage both the mass amount of gamers that we have and this big megaphone that we have. And we're able to do that because we're permission-based right now. We don't allow everyone to build with us. We're taking a very curated approach, and we give a ton of support to the teams we work with.
That's awesome. Now, Henry, talk to me about CyberKong. Just firstly, what is a CyberKong? And just what interested you about this project? Like, how did you even look at this project and say, oh, I want to be a part of that? Or how did that go for you?
Yeah. So, you know, a CyberKong, it has kind of, when I say evolved, like CyberKongs is a community, like first and foremost. And the people in that community typically hold one of four of our collections, which I'll get into. But one of the things we also say is like, you don't need to own a Kong to be a Kong. And that goes back to what we are as a community and as a culture, because frankly, we don't care if you have a Kong. Like, if you have one, awesome. If you don't, you're still coming to our event. That we have a lot of people that hang out on our Discord that just don't have the type of money to be able to buy a Kong, and we don't hold that against them. We know if the day ever comes that they can, they may give us a look. And so you know what, my story within Kongs is interesting because I'm the only one on the founding team that was not there day one, which was March 3rd, 2021. I actually joined the Kongs in June. The initial mint, I was collecting art. And when PFP started to become a thing, now keep in mind, this is before like Bored Ape Yacht Club, when PFPs were starting to become a thing, and obviously we had like CryptoPunks before us, but I didn't fully understand it. I was like, okay, I don't get it. There's like 10,000 of them. I was used to like smaller collection sizes, owning art because it was, you know, something cool, the provenance of it. And I didn't quite understand the whole profile picture culture. So when I first saw these on OpenSea, I was like, man, what are these things? Like, I didn't have interest in it. And because at this time, there were more and more that were just kind of dropping, and it was hard to differentiate between X, Y, and Z. And in June, my brother, who, you know, I had mentioned, like, has a really, he has strong D-gen game. He called me up, and he's like, listen, man, Cyber Kongs. He's like, we got to get in there. He's like, there's something different going on there, and we need to get in that ecosystem. At this time, like, I had some Bored Apes. I went into the Kongs Discord, and, you know, not to throw shade at any project, because I have lots of friends that are apes, but I tend to be on like the little bit older side of the Web3 spectrum. I'm 41. Gotcha. So like, I'm hanging out in the Ape Discord, and I felt like I was trying to get people to like write back or try to like enter into the conversation, but it just like, man, I kept missing. I felt really awkward. Like, man, I don't know if I'm not saying the right jokes. My GIF game maybe sucks. I don't know what it is, but like, I suck at this. And I went into the Kongs Discord, and it was so different. It was just so different. It was like, you could ask a question and somebody would answer it. The vibe was just very, very different. Keep in mind, it was also smaller. At this time, there was only like a couple hundred of us in Discord. Gotcha. So, almost to like, you know, what Kathleen talks about with the Ronin experience, that it's curated. It was almost like this curated community. Keep in mind, it was really made up of OG Axies and CryptoPunks. So you had this kind of grungy vibe, people that really knew Web3, but they weren't the people that knew Web3 that were not willing to share information. And I don't just mean alpha. I just mean like, hey, can you explain like what a liquidity pool is? Like, how does it work? You know, there's so much to this that like we take for granted now years into it. Like, you just know it. But early 21, there was just a lot of shit that you just may not know. And you might not feel like you can ask the question without, you know, maybe taking a hit to your ego, if anybody would even answer the question. So, you know, I was in there, and I was like, within hours, I'm like, I need to be here. This is a community I want to be a part of. And I asked if somebody was interested in trading an ape for a Genesis Kong. And that's how I got in, man. And from that day, June 29th, 2021, until now, that jungle has been my home. Like, it's been, not only is it my home, it's the home for over 40,000 other people. My oldest daughter, she's soon to be 18. It's her home in Web3. She's a Kong. And there's just something really special that occurs in Cyber Kongs. And so with that being said, this connection we've had with Ronin, with Axies, it's been there in our community since the very beginning. So everything that we've done with Ronin and everything that we're going to do has just made sense on so many different levels. So yeah, that's a little bit of what being a Kong is, but maybe I should say specifically, we have four collections. We've got our 1000 Genesis Kongs. Those launched in March of 2021, 4000 baby Kongs, which we started this meta of breeding using a utility token that a NFT actually yields passively. So that's how our babies were created. If you had two Genesis Kongs and you used our utility token, which is called Banana, you could make a baby Kong.
Gotcha.
So there's 4,000 of those. Then we came out with 15,000 VX Kongs. Those are voxelized avatars. They're basically your representation of your Kong within a gaming or metaverse environment. We're proud to say, like, we have the most integrations of any Web3 project out there. It's the most interoperable NFT of any Web3 project. And then, of course, with Ronin, we launched our Genkai collection this past July. There's 20,000 Genkai. That's a very different looking collection. It's not pixelized or voxelized. It's our, it's really our IP play. And obviously we can get into a little bit more of that as the show goes on.
Awesome. I love that, Henry. That's awesome. Even including like your daughter and talking about your GIF or your meme game. Got to get that up for sure. Now, Henry, just touching back on community, how important is not only feedback, but would you say transparency in community management? How do you maintain it?
Yeah, it's everything, to be honest with you. Like I always say to our community, we're not here, like we're not in this position as a team for you guys. Like we are, but we're really here because of them. We are literally nothing without our community. I think transparency is key. I mean, I think most people recognize that there are things that you can't talk about, whether it's NDAs, whether there's upcoming marketing initiatives where you can't just spill the beans. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're going on over 3 years at this point, and we wouldn't be here, one, if we didn't have a badass community, but two, if we weren't thoughtful and honest with our community. And there's been times we've had to walk things back. You know, maybe we had an idea of like, hey, this is something we were going to do. And then we've got to go back to the community and say like, yeah, that thing's not happening. And that's just part of an honest journey in Web3. But I think because of those things, I think we've gained the respect from the community that they know that what a secondary price of an NFT is not something that we're trying to artificially affect. Yeah. We're just here to keep delivering, to keep trying to innovate, to keep trying to bring experiences for the community, get the right partnerships with the right people like Ronin, and just keep trying to execute in a space that, like, the reality is we don't all know where this goes. You know, it's one thing for a blockchain like Ronin to know like, hey, this is what we specialize. Like, we are going to be the gaming blockchain. It's another thing for a project that really thinks like, we're about culture, we're about alpha, we're about gaming, we're about all these different things. But what does that mean 5 years from now? You don't always know. So you just kind of like keep the ship pointed in that direction, in a direction, and hope the community vibes with that and that they understand like, yeah, we don't all know where this goes, but like, this is the ship that we want to be on, even if we're not 100% sure where the destination is.
That's awesome. Kathleen, talk to me about the Ronin blockchain. We mentioned Axie Infinity. What is the idea or goal behind using Ronin? And like, how do you think this migration like makes the gaming experience better?
When it comes to CyberKongs migrating their Play and Collect game and even launching Genkai on Ronin, just generally the transaction fees have been optimized to scale and are extremely inexpensive. But also, I talked about this curated approach. There are other blockchains out there, and nearly every single other blockchain out there allows for everyone to build on them. So any game can deploy on them. Whereas Ronin, we're really focused on giving users a great experience. And we understand that the transition of gamers and players and fans from a general Web 2 world to a Web 3 world is a scary one. And it's not one that people have fully embraced with open arms because it lacks that trust. On open blockchains, you have meme coins, you have scams, you have rug pulls, you have players that are in it for the wrong reasons. Whereas Ronin, we're hand selecting these projects and we are delivering them to the community with the intention that they will have longevity. And that's really one of the main reasons we wanted to bring on CyberKongs, because this team's not going anywhere. They're going to hustle. They're going to find a way. They're going to continue to innovate, and they know Web3 to their core, and they're going to be able to sustain themselves in relationship with Ronin. So that's why we were so confident in putting them out to our community saying, hey, this is the first third-party mint, these Genkais on Ronin. We fully support this. We fully back it. We're going to push it out. We're going to push it to our millions of followers on our social channels, get all of our creators involved, and we're confident that it'll have longevity. And that's the same with the other games we bring on. We hand select these games. This happened with Pixels. Pixels migrated from Polygon. They had 3,000 users there. Now they have over 1 million daily active users on Ronin. And the only thing they did differently was move to Ronin. And we have the exact same respect for Pixels as we do for CyberKongs. And we will be the first to admit that these two teams helped us put us on the map in terms of gaining the respect and the trust from our community that they can trust what Ronin is getting behind and what they're putting out there. And so moving forward, you will see absolute top tier games coming to Ronin, projects that have longevity, projects that have legs. And we only hope to continue building both our community of players and this megaphone I talk about of noisemakers and creators and whales that all come together and trust that they can play these games on Ronin and not get screwed over. We will eventually open Ronin up to an extent, but that's only after, I like to give the analogy of like a city. You know, we have Axie, it's one tower. Now we have CyberKongs, it's another tower, and Pixels. We need a couple other towers before we really open up the gates. We're going to put everything we have into ensuring the success of these towers, because that's how you create a sustainable digital nation when you have those pillars.
That's awesome. So for Henry, someone maybe Bob, right? Bobby right now out in North Carolina, he's 43 years old, or maybe Nancy out in Ohio right now. They want to get into CyberKongs. They want to know about play and collect. For someone that's new, can you give me a walkthrough of how this will work? And like, what is, you touched on it, but what is Banana?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, I'm going to hit that. I just want to say exactly to Kathleen's point, the Ronin network is, we were on Polygon for 2 years with our VX collection and our game, Play and Collect. The moving to Ronin, it's almost life changing. Okay. It's like being on a smooth, freshly paved highway. Not just because of the Ronin Sky Mavis teams. Their support's incredible. They're available. But it is these curated projects that Kathleen's talking about, Pixels and Aperon and Kydro, because I haven't seen before where projects are talking to each other behind the scenes and genuinely trying to help each other out. Yeah. We're in DMs with all of those people, like literally all of them behind the scenes talking about like, what can we do to help each other? What are things that, you know, and sometimes it's just a question from a new project that wants to know like, hey, do you have any advice for this? So it's a really great group of projects that are coming on Ronin. We're super proud to be a part of that, because it's very different than being on Polygon. Very, very different. Okay, so with that being said, what is Play and Collect? And what is Banana? Well, first off, Banana is the fuel for our ecosystem. It's our utility token. Every Genesis Kong, there's 1,000 of them, yields 10 banana per day. Okay, so as a Genesis Kong holder, you get 10 banana per day. That contract started in April of 2021, and it will end in April of 2031. That's the banana that is created. Okay, Play and Collect is a fully on-chain gaming experience. It's a transaction-based game, so it's not like you're running around with your avatar fighting people. It's transaction-based. And so effectively what it is within the Play and Collect game, you go on an adventure run with your VX, and you have the opportunity on that run to be able to collect loot. You may not collect loot, but it's possible that you can collect loot, and that loot could be weapons. It could be armor. It could be banana bunches where you get banana. And by the way, I'm referring to version one of Play and Collect. We're launching on Ronin version two. So we've had people that have been collecting armor for, you know, all this time. They haven't really had a use for it other than being able to like equip it in a viewer where you can see your VX Kong wearing armor, holding its weapons, etc. So that's like, let's say, the very basics of play and collect. And along with that, every VX Kong has the opportunity on a daily basis to go on a free run. But if you want to do more than one run to try to collect loot, you can do that by using banana. So there's a predetermined amount of banana that it costs to go on a run, and you could go on runs all day long to up your chances of collecting loot. In the new version of Play and Collect, there's a lot of new components to it. One of which is that all of these weapons and armor that people have collected, they're actually going to be able to use it in the game. So you can equip your weapons and armor in order to increase your gear score. And then based on your gear score, you can go on different tiered adventure runs. And within those tiers, there is opportunity to be able to collect different loot. So if you go on a tier 4 run, you might have a better chance of getting a mystery box. And within that mystery box could be banana, there could be Ron, there could be AXS, there could be Axies, there could be some legendary weapons. And the same thing can happen on a tier 1 run. It's just as you increase your gear score and you increase the tier run that you go on, there's just more opportunities for you to be able to collect. Like, certain loot is only available on higher tiered runs. That's it on a very, very basic overview. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of components to the game. There's a lot of gamification to it. I've been testing it. By the way, I'm not like a hardcore gamer. And I told the guys the other day, I was like, guys, this version is so, it's awesome. The UI has been upgraded to be able to see your VX wearing the gear, you know, equipping armor. It's just a very, very different experience than what V1 Play and Collect was. And I really think people are going to be excited to play this version of it. We waited specifically. We held off on launching V2 because we knew with Ronin, like, why launch it now? We wanted to be able to come launch the game with a bang on Ronin.
That's awesome. So actually, talking about Ronin, Kathleen, any, like, what measures are in place to prevent any type of cyber attacks or any breach? I know you mentioned like permission-based, but can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, so after we were hacked 2 years ago, we put every single everything we could in place to prevent that from happening again, including increasing the amount of validators that we have. So now we have validators like Google and some other major players that ensure the security of our network. And we also have community validators now. I believe CyberKongs has their own validator. Owl does. Coco does. We have basically pivoted to a DPoS structure to ensure that this does not happen. That said, there are still, we're still in the exploratory phase of this whole new world of crypto. So we always have to be extremely careful because no one knows what's coming. Yep. Like, no one has any idea what's coming, but if you work with us, you can trust that we've been through the trenches before. We know how to handle situations. We know how to handle a war room when things like this happen. We're the team to prevail and conquer when these situations do happen. And that is the benefit of working with us. It's the benefit of working with a blockchain who has had a flagship game that has been in the trenches before. And that covers everything from security to community management and getting death threats and, you know, all of the different things that come with growing this digital economy.
Gotcha. So this is for Kathleen or Henry. Talk to me about any struggles you had with the project. Anything stand out? Anything like that?
Oh, there's always struggles, right? Like, sorry, I'm not laughing at you, bro. It's just like, yeah, I feel like you're struggling 90% of the time to get 10% of the time to be in the state that it is right now, which is people are excited, the market's healthy. But that it's just part of it. I mean, there is a struggle. The reality is this: there are different expectations for all kinds of people within your ecosystem. some people are just there not to be a part of your community. They're just there. I hate to even say to grift, but they're not there for the community. They're there because they want to buy something on the secondary market and they want to sell it for more. Well, honestly, how are you as a ethical founder ever supposed to be able to do something about that? That's ethical. Like it's, we won't do it.
Yep.
We're building for the people that are here for the long run and understand the challenges that we have, but you do get that faction that comes in and, you know, all they want to talk is floor price. What about this? What about that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And the reality is like, you know that people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. They don't know all the legal hurdles. They don't know. They just don't know what it is to grind behind the scenes of a, you know, of a major NFT project. So it's like, you can't fault them for not knowing. But I've seen it with so many people as we've scaled, which is one thing that we've done, which I think a lot of people haven't done. You notice like in the bear, teams were downsizing because they scaled up so quick. We actually have scaled up as we've gone on because we've tried to be methodical about our hires. But when we bring somebody in, it's like the veil is lifted and they start to understand like, holy crap, there's a lot. There's, you know, the engagement with your partners. There's the marketing schedule. There's just a ton. You're dealing with people across so many time zones. So the struggle is just in the fact that like, okay, I'll just use CyberKongs as the example. None of us live within a time zone of each other. None of us. We are all like multiple time zones away from each other. So that in itself, you know, brings some challenges to the table, but like nobody is, I'm not speaking for Kathleen, certainly, you know, Ronan, Sky Mavis, everybody in the space deals with challenges and, you know, maybe Kathleen, actually Kathleen, you spoke to one of them, right? I mean, 2 weeks after you came on, probably one of the biggest challenges anybody's faced in Web3.
Yeah. I feel like we rose like a phoenix, but I've always felt that in order to be in this space, you have to be able to thrive in chaos, and not a lot of people can do that. You know, a lot of standard jobs, like consulting jobs and accounting jobs and just general jobs do not have the volatility that crypto has, both from a financial and just a general landscape perspective. You have to be quick to adapt. You have to be ready to get punched in the face and get right back up from it. And it evens out because the highs are certainly worth the lows. And I think that as we head more into a bull market, we have to remember that this could disappear at any time. That's why building something sustainable by bringing on games that are good projects, that have loyal followings, that's the way to do it, as opposed to just pump and dumps and FOMOing into new projects and bringing them onto Ronin. Like, I would like to create the, you know, Nintendo of Web3, where we have this super trusted ecosystem with Zelda and Animal Crossing and projects like CyberKongs that are pushing the envelope of what is possible from an IP perspective.
Gotcha. So maybe Kathleen, you can speak, and Henry as well. But what is one thing that you wish more people understood about just like NFTs, blockchain gaming in general?
It's not just pictures. what I hope people understand is there's specifically blockchain gaming. Like, we have utility behind our assets. Mm-hmm. This is not just a picture. This is something meaningful that has utility and longevity and is more than just something in your wallet. And that's why I'm looking for projects that are sustainable. We've been talking with some major, major IPs, specifically from the US, that want to build on Ronin and they want to launch NFTs. And I don't want Ronin to be the place where NFTs go to die. You need teams that are going to get behind these projects and make them their babies and put everything they have into them, as opposed to just a major IP experimenting and launching NFTs. Because guess what? That's never gone right 99% of the time in the space. That would be my advice. I'm at GDC and I've lost my voice entirely. This is why I sound so ridiculous right now.
No, you're doing awesome. And the reality is, like, we're pioneering something that's kind of brand new. Yep. So to a normie, I was at the gym a few weeks ago, and small side story here. I'm at the gym. I'm talking to a dude who basically told me that NFTs are basically money laundering. He's a college age kid. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I'm kind of just basically explaining why it's not. And this guy comes over. He's like, oh, you know, NFTs. He's like, I'm really deep in NFTs. And he actually was. He's part of the D-Gods community. And like, to have somebody in Buffalo, New York, that's like deep in Web3, it was kind of like a white elephant. We were like, oh my gosh, man, there's another one of us here. And the reality is that most people on the outside, they have no concept of what this is. They've seen in the media that NFTs are going to zero. They've seen these crazy price. I mean, a Genesis Kong at the height of the market in 2021 was 215 ETH. When ETH was around $4,000 on the secondary market. Okay. I mean, it's kind of, when I say ludicrous, it's crazy. There's a massive amount of speculation that goes on. And this is what people see in the news. And this is what people think that it is. And the reality is, if more people understood that this is a movement, okay, like behind all of these awesome games, which, by the way, we firmly believe Web3 gaming is going to be the foundation for Web3 moving forward. Even though in the last bear market, you know, what we just came out of, people were FUDing Web3 gaming. They're just like, it's stupid. We always believed, which is one of the reasons why we're so bullish on Ronin, because we know what they're doing there. We know what they're curating. So at the end of the day, like, we really think this is the foundation for something that is so much bigger than what people are thinking right now, which is a lot of this is kind of memeable. There's a lot of meme coin trading, and there's a lot of NFTs that are nothing more than, if you want to call them, shit coins. They're people that are just trading JPEGs. These projects, we won't even remember their names 1 year from now. But out of that massive pile, there's still going to be these select projects of quality builders that are actually going to form this foundation of something that I truly believe my kids and my grandkids will be a part of. I don't just believe it. I mean, again, my daughter is part of this movement. But you know what? Like 40 years ago, nobody thought we were all going to have cell phones in our pockets. And nobody thought every house was going to have a laptop and Wi-Fi. And so there was a lot of people that thought that was ludicrous. No different than right now. There's a ton of people that think this is ludicrous. And why are grown adults playing with pictures of monkeys? And the reality is, it's because, like, it's so much bigger than this. But it's going to take a little bit of time to get there.
Yeah, and these NFTs also can lead into like genuine friendships and groups, and with groups come information. Like, I am dying to get my hands on a Genesis Kong, because I know being in the Genesis Kong group can get me like the most alpha, because those people are so freaking smart. And being like, even with Mystic Axies, you know, once you own these assets, it's a representation of a luxury good of sorts and a status symbol. And with that comes it's cult is not the right word I'm trying to use here, but it is this like, it's this group that you belong to, essentially. And CyberKongs is great because you have your Genesis group, but these people are willing to share information with everybody else that's involved in CyberKongs, regardless of you like own their NFTs or not. And there are all these different levels to participate in. So it's not just a picture. It's a way of communicating and connecting, you know, and finding your own people. And the reason we like CyberKongs was they weren't Bored Apes. They weren't just the bros that were, you know, or even like D-Gods. Like, we all know what those parties look like. We all know how they communicate. Like, there's something so genuine about CyberKongs and the community that they cultivated. And it's established by the way they talk with people and the way they put the project out into the world and listen to feedback. And that is different among every single NFT project. And that's why our relationship with CyberKongs, like, second I talk with Henry, with Henry, and he told me they were launching Genkai soon. I'm like, we have 1 month to figure this out, and we're going to figure this out, and it's going to be on Ronin, and we're going to figure out our relationship, because you guys are the people to do it with, because you fit in with our community. And of course, we want to add all types of community to Ronin, but I think we have a standard of the type of people that we want to work with.
It will be our, like, looking back years from now, it hands down will be a turning point in our story. When we went to Ronin, like, our community was, when I say they were so jazzed, like, they are so jazzed about effectively coming home, because those communities are, when I say they're the same, it's the same people that make up both like the Axie community, the Ronin community, the Pixels community, the Kongs community. It's the same people. You could literally just interchange them and they would be the same type of people, same type of holders. So yeah, we're very much excited, not to fanboy out over Ronin, but I don't want to understate how massive of a move it was for us to be able to be that like first non-Axie third party launch on, you know, on Ronin. That's something like that we're extremely proud of.
Yeah.
And you're seeing all this interconnectivity and this, this community and the same like ethos that we all have, this ethos based off of reciprocity, the more you give, the more you get, play out. All of a sudden, Genkais are integrated into Pixels and you have these avatars running around. And, you know, that is something that we want to continue to enforce on Ronin, is this idea of all of our projects getting behind each other and supporting each other only makes all of us collectively bigger.
100%. I like that. Henry, you touched on it very briefly, and this is a question I always have to ask. Again, just a selfish, fun question. Who, anybody in your family, uncle, aunt, grandpa, grandma, is anybody like in the group chat roasting you about liking NFTs or anything like that? Like any experience?
It's funny. My wife and kids were in Florida recently and having dinner with the grandparents. They were actually asking. They're genuinely curious because they don't understand it. Yep. And they were asking like what is it that he does? And like, you know, flying around the world, right? And they're just like, it's so over their head. They're not roasting. I think they get their news from the news. And so like, they don't understand it. I'm sure there's always some concern, like, you know, if they're not saying it to my family, I have no doubt that when we're not present that they're like, can you believe what he's doing? Like, what is this? But my daughter was actually, explaining it to them. My wife is telling me like, she, I don't want to say came to my defense, but she's proud. Like, dude, she's a senior in high school. She's getting ready to go to college. And she's DMing me sometimes from class, or she's in the Kong's Discord from class, asking about like, when's the game launching again? She's playing Pixels. Like, she's playing Pixels. I hear her at night watching you. Okay, let me just set the stage a bit. I'm not trying to put her on a pedestal. I mean, she is my daughter and she's awesome. But like, she's got a life. Like, she's a popular kid in her school. And like, she's sitting here at 1 a.m. listening to YouTube videos about Pixels, because I've told her like, if you can understand this stuff early, you have the potential to change your life. You literally have the potential to change your life. And while everybody else is doing the thing that they think they're supposed to be doing, you can be doing something different, even though you might not be able to explain it perfectly. Stick around, talk to Kongs. She's in DMs with Kongs. I'm in group DMs with them, so that way she's not just randomly talking to someone. But like, she's proud of it. So my wife is telling me, she's explaining to them like what it is and how cool it is. And so I don't know that I'm necessarily getting shade or that I'm being made fun of, although I wouldn't doubt a little bit behind the scenes that goes on. But I also know this is so over people's head that it's hard to fully understand.
So now, if you have a nephew or a niece, again, this is for Kathleen or you, Henry, someone, I mean, like a younger cousin, right? They're excited about NFTs, Web3, blockchain gaming. Like, what advice would you give them to begin learning? Like, any resources?
Follow all the people I'm following on Twitter. You follow good people on Twitter, and it's really a kind of do your own research situation. But if you can follow one right person, and they can give you recommendations to other right people. I mean, it goes back to the ethos of networking and kind of even how I got to my position I'm in. You have to trust the right people. Like, the first initial people you kind of have to take a leap with, and stick with them, stick with the connections that they will give to you, stick with the people that they trust. So those initial people that you trust, make sure you can trust them, and then follow their moves, follow who they're following, get involved in Discord groups. Probably don't start off with meme coins because you'll lose all your money. But figure out some projects that you like and you understand and you could get involved in. That's the best way to get into crypto, not just getting into it to make a quick buck, because the market will go up and down. but it's the ones that you can get behind personally and believe in, that it makes it easier to handle those ups and downs when they inevitably come, and not FOMO and FUD and lose all your money. Because, I mean, call a spade, people are in this to make money. But people also stay for the community, and you have to act like a investor at some point. It's like, can you form a thesis behind something? Can you get involved in the community? Can you like really love what is being produced? Do your diligence and dig in that way.
Yeah. It just to add to that, come into the CyberKongs Discord, into our, when I say our main non-gated channel, it's called Monkey Business. Ping me. I'm at Henry the Grape. I'm always responsive. And we have, honestly, like, we have one of the best communities in Web3. Our moderator staff is like, there's nobody like them in Web3. They're patient. We're happy to answer questions. And you can get information, to Kathleen's point, like, of course, do your own research, not financial advice, all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, like, if you're new, part of doing your research is getting into the right info streams and getting into the right groups. And I always say, like, come in, we're a welcoming group, and we're always happy to help. I don't care how dumb of a question it is. You know, how do I set up a MetaMask? What's a safe way to store my seed phrase? What should I not do? What should I do? Just some of the basics are a good place to start. And then, to Kathleen's point, like, just following the right people. Sometimes you don't know who the right people are unless you get recommendations from trusted sources. So it's a great place to start. To me, I feel like it is really hard to take a serious stab at Web3 without being engaged in Discord. I know a lot of people fight it, but like, if you're getting your info from crypto Twitter, you are literally going to isolate yourself to one very shitty side of it, versus getting into some of these groups that have actual people that have been doing this for years. And that's like the Axie community. It's the Ronin community. It's the CyberKongs community. So you get into those places. If you can stomach being in Discord and how neurotic it can be at times, it's a great place to be able to start learning.
That's awesome. So now, just to wrap it up, Kathleen, we can go ahead and start with you. Tell me one thing you're excited about here in the near future. Can be crypto, NFT related or not, just something you're excited about here in the near future.
Oh, all the games that are coming to Ronin. We have worked so hard to get to this point. I talk about how we've like rose from the ashes like a phoenix. CyberKongs was that first step. Pixels, what we did with Pixels just proved out what we can do with projects. And the lineup we have coming to Ronin is bananas. Is, and I'm also so excited to see these projects now, and CyberKongs is doing this, it's public information, but reward folks that participate in Ronin. So like rewarding validators, and now there's this new like airdrop meta happening on Ronin for stakers and people that participate in our ecosystem. And like, I'm so excited about the narrative that's happening behind Ronin and how we are emerging as this genuine, pure network that helps one another, that is leading the charge in gaming. So
that's awesome.
Yes.
Henry.
Yeah, no, it's Ronin, not gonna lie. having been you know, obviously we have a collection on mainnet, we've been on Polygon, now on Ronin. I've been literally telling friends of mine who have faded me, like, I'm not an alpha caller. So when I do say something, I don't want to say I expect people to listen. It's just, I don't say a lot. I don't make calls. Try to be really careful about what I say, because like, you know, as part of the founding team, you say something and people can really hold on to it. Ronin is, it's like when Ronin is not dominating the crypto Twitter timeline, that's when you should be looking at it. There literally is no other chain that's putting together the type of lineup that Ronin's putting together. And genuinely, like, there's no other chain where the projects are actually trying to lift each other up behind the scenes like they are on Ronin. It's just, it's usually a dog eat dog world. And at the end of the day, we don't like that. Like, we've always been, people talk about like a rising tide lifts all ships. It's bullshit, because none of these projects out there really care about giving a helping hand. But when you're over on the Ronin side, when you're in that ecosystem, it's true. it's actually true. So what that looks like years from now, I think it will separate itself from every other chain. I think they're making all the right moves over there. And we're just excited for 2024. Of course, you know, Play and Collect. We've got our Emaki that's going to be coming out for Genkai. That's part of our storytelling experience. Really excited when that launches for Genkai to have their time in the spotlight, to really be at the forefront of what we're doing in CyberKongs, along with some other things that we're working on for Genkai with gaming integrations. And on top of that, we're working on pushing the provenance of our collections by getting them into museums. Man, there's just so much cooking right now. It's awesome. Like, literally, this is the best version of CyberKongs that CyberKongs has ever had. It's the best version of the team we've ever had. It's the best version of the community that we've ever had. And literally, I'd put us toe-to-toe with anybody out there. Like, hands down, I take CyberKongs every time. And I'm not a shiller, but the reality is I know what we're doing. I know what we've got. I know who we're aligned with. And I don't think the future could be any brighter for us and for Ronan.
You've got me pretty I'm just excited right now. That was awesome. I'm not much of a gamer myself, but you've got me pumped up. Like, that's so sick, honestly. So again, Henry and Kathleen, I really appreciate y'all for joining me today. I look forward to hearing from y'all in the future. I know there's a bunch of crazy shit going on, so just once again, I appreciate y'all for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you. Always great to connect with Kathleen. We're like ships passing in the night at times, so always great to hop on here and do our thing while we spread the word of Ronan and Kongs.
I'm a 90s baby. Lately, I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy. Yeah, people going crazy. Yeah, I been getting paper. Made a whole end without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, they like clock, you major. I just set a new set of poles on a new Mercedes. Bitch trying to have my.